This is Talk is Cheap on KPWLP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works Independent Community Radio. Okay, this is the second half of the Michelle Shehadeh lecture recorded on May 18th at the Unitarian Universalist Church here in Eugene. And I'm going to give you my news report as kind of a teaser and then play the second half of Michelle Shehadeh. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends, support independent media. To commemorate Nakba Day, Michelle Shehadeh spoke at the Eugene Unitarian Universalist Church on May 18th. Shehadeh is the Palestinian-American Executive Director of the Arab Film Festival and the former Western Regional Director of the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee. Raised in Palestine, he relocated to the United States for college in 1975. He holds a BA in journalism and a master's in public administration from California State University, Long Beach. On January 26, 1987, Shehadeh and seven other Los Angeles residents, dubbed the Los Angeles Eight, were arrested under the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1952 on the basis of alleged support for the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, because according to Shehadeh, they were handing out leaflets. After the government refused to disclose exculpatory evidence, the judge in the case dismissed the charges against Shehadeh and another member of the LA 8 in 2007, calling the prolonged proceedings an embarrassment to the rule of law. Shehadeh says the current conflict in Israel can be traced back to the Crusades. He uses the Dreyfus Affair as an example of how false anti-Semitism has been used throughout history to justify increased security resulting in authoritarian regimes. The Dreyfus Affair profoundly divided the French, inflamed the press, brought crowds into the streets, and mobilized every political faction from the royalists to the anarchists, ultimately resulting in an arms race that increased artillery purchases in France. Without proof, the Nazis blamed the burning of the German Parliament building on the communists. Most historians agree this facilitated their rise to power. During the Cold War, the CIA persuaded NATO members to recruit right-wing operatives to engage in terrorist actions and then blame the resulting deaths on left-wing groups, mostly communists. In this way, the United States used deception and terror to prevent groups advocating for social justice from gaining power in Europe after World War II. The relative peace in the Middle East during the Ottoman Empire disintegrated when British imperialists divided up the area. Israel was used as a hegemon in the British Empire's balance of power system to maintain control of the Suez Canal. Now the West maintains Israeli hegemony to secure multinational corporate oil reserves, resulting in billions of dollars in U.S. weapons industry subsidies.
And that's what the British wanted. They wanted a client place, a client state in that region to protect its own interests. Why then, if you think about it, why then the Sykes-Picot agreement between France and England, which was the agreement to divide the Arab world from being one world, one chunk of country, into 22 countries. And in the middle of that, they created Israel, the Zionist entity that needed to be a base, a military base, the vanguard for imperialism, for the British Empire, to keep that world divided so the empire can siphon the fortunes of that land and keep it divided, fighting each other under control. And of course, after the United States took that role of being the empire, it continued to do the same thing. That's why in 1917, the Balfour Declaration came out by Britain that gave the land of Palestine, a land they did not own, a land that they did not control, because the mandate of Palestine was given to Britain in 1922. But the Balfour Declaration was in 1917. So they were giving this land to the Zionists, well, as I mentioned, a land that they didn't own or control, to a movement, to the Zionists, who did not live there. That was the Balfour Declaration, which stated that they wanna government of His Majesty the King would do everything they can to create a home, a national home, for the Jews. I mean, Herzl wrote about this, and he said, "Don't worry about the word home. Everybody will understand it's going to be a state."
He says the current policies of Israel are being used by white supremacists as justification for anti-Semitism.
Zionism is Judaism. This is what the Zionists want you to believe, wants us all to believe. That every Jew is a Zionist. And every Zionist is a Jew. A big lie. JVP will tell you it's a big lie. Yeah. The JVP is being accused of being anti-Semites. I mean, Palestinians are Semites also, but again, the term became, you know, Jew-hating. But the narrative, this narrative have now has been uncovered that Zionism is a political ideology. Zionism is a political movement. Judaism is a religion. And it's much broader than what they're trying to do. Because by reducing Judaism to be Zionist, they're not really helping the Jews. They're hurting them. And when they use the accusation of anti-Semitism about anybody who wants to speak about Palestinian rights or about what Israel is doing, like I'm doing, if I speak about my history, I'm accused of being an anti-Semitic. Again, I don't want to undermine how important the issue of anti-Semitism is, but it should be used against the real enemy of the Jews, the right-wing movements in the United States. Those are the people who are anti-Semites. And by using it as a pawn in a political game to restrict the rights of the pro-Palestinian voice who have a right to say that, to have, you know, not just a right, but they're speaking about their own issues, they're undermining this. Because now it becomes, it rings hollow. If you just keep everybody speaks about Israel, you accuse him of being an anti-Semite, then anti-Semitism become ineffective. When you really want to use it in the right way, in the right manner, against Jew haters, against the Jews, the haters of the Jews, it loses its effect. You know what the German Nazis, racists right now are saying in Germany? We told you about those Jews. We told you how would they behave, and talking about the Zionists. So combining this, Judaism and Zionism together, is hurting the Jews much more than anything else.
Instead of the reactionary policies we've been using since the Middle Ages, we need to sift through the propaganda we are all subjected to by corporate media and try diplomacy. For KEPW News, I'm DJ Susti.
And that's why we should not succumb to this. We should explain to the people that direct this accusation where it belongs, to the right-wing supremacist groups in the United States who do not hate only Jews but hate everybody. So by accusing the wrong people with this, you are not doing anybody any favor but those supremacist groups, because you're shielding them from the real accusation, from the real what anti-Semitism laws and issues in the United States meant to do. So you can always explain the difference, because that's a widespread think that Jews and Zionists are the same. They use them here interchangeably, and we've seen it in hearings in the Congress, you know, in the universities, when they were equating the activism against foreign policies against Israel, they equating it by being activities against the Jews. We need to stop this. We need to really stand firm on this everywhere. Other fallacies is Zionism is not colonialism. Zionism is kind of a liberation movement. Because history for the Zionists have stopped in the year 70 AD by the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans. And since then, the history of the Palestinians is not important. And just a side note, the Palestinians were the Jews. The Palestinians became also Christians, some of them, and then some of them became Muslims. But they are the natives of the land. And whatever happens in history, they just moved with it, but they stayed in their own land. The Zionists who control Israel right now are European colonialists. They got nothing to do with the land. And you know what my proof is? Forget the history. If they really belonged to the land, they would not destroy it the way they're doing now. They would not destroy the stones that have been touched by the prophets. They would not uproot the olive trees that were descendants of the trees from that time and before. Those are the same trees. The Bible says that Christ prayed under them. They uprooting them. They are the destroyers. They destroy the land. They destroy the trees. And you know what the Palestinians do? They rebuild the land. They rebuild the structures. They save the stones. And they plant the trees again. This is just a simple example of how could somebody who belonged to the land destroy it this and treat it in such savagery as it happened right now. So no, Israel, and as a material manifestation of the Zionist movement, is not a liberation movement. It is a colonial movement. Period. The other fallacy, myth about Israel, is that it is the only democracy in the world. Israel is a democracy. I mean, you feel like crying when you hear that, or you feel like laughing when you hear that. And how could anybody think that Israel is a democracy when there is roads that are Jews-only roads? Palestinians are not allowed to go walk on these roads. How could they say Israel is a democracy when there is settlements that are Jews-only settlements? Palestinians cannot go and live there. There is the national new law in the Knesset. I'm not sure if you guys know about it, but it says that the land of Israel, and when they say the land of Israel, it could mean anything between the river to the sea, or it could be from the Euphrates to the Tigris in Iraq. Because that in the Knesset, they have that map over there. But they say that the land of Israel belongs to the Jews only. What happens to the Palestinians who are Christians, or who are Muslims, or are Druze, who are Shirk is there. Palestinian society is diverse. Those are, because of this law, are second class, third class, and fourth class citizens. They don't have the same rights as Jews. So when they have, when they say Israel is a democracy, they meant the same thing as the roads and the settlements, the democracy of Jews only democracy. Palestinians got nothing to do with it. Because as you know, in the West and Israel have adopted this, there's always refer to Palestine and to other lands as land without a people to a people without a land. You know what that means? That land without white people belong to white people. That's what it means. There is a Ugandan story that was told by the Ugandan past president, and it's very telling. I really like telling that story. He said, they had the book when they came to us. They had the book, we have the land. So they came and they told us, let us pray. So we closed our eyes and we prayed. And when we opened our eyes, they had the land, we had the book. That's exactly the story of how they used everything, not for the sake of quote unquote modernization of those colonies, but stealing the wealth of those colonies. Just have a look at Africa. I'll tell you another story, that Germany in Tanzania, they killed 10 million people. Nobody knows about that. 10 million people, while the Western European elites and philosophers were preaching about the human rights and about democracy and about modernization. It never was. That narrative, and it's debunked right now, and I'm telling you how when they tell me that you're an anti-Semite, and I said, how can be an anti-Semite when we gave you Judaism? Judaism started in that part of the world. Christianity started in that part of the world. Islam started in that part of the world. And you know, Europe, what you gave us? You gave us colonialism, you gave us fascism, you gave us Nazism, and you gave us Zionism. You wanted to get rid of the Jews and use them in Israel to become the fuel that protects your own interests in that region. Jews are your victims also. Jews are victims of Zionism also. And when they say, well, look what happened on October 7th, Hamas, which is a resistant movement, because it was born out of the Palestinian desire for freedom, the yearning to breathe, for liberation, while Zionism was born out of greed and more land and controlling it and taking it for free. Right? So when they say that Zionism is a force for good, I say no, the Palestinians are the force for good. And when Hamas went out of jail, broke out of their jail, out of their concentration camp, and went into the Gaza settlements, look at this. Go and look at the 1947 partition plan. This area where the settlements are Palestinians area, occupied area. Just go and look at the map. People don't say, oh, they got into Israel. Even though, if I want to say, I accept the UN decisions of giving Israel that part of Palestine to make its own state and give the Palestinian that part in Gaza, on the border of Gaza, is a Palestinian land. But again, everybody who died, whether by Palestinian fingers pressing the gun, you know, killing them, or by the Zionists killing the Palestinians, all of these victims from both sides are at the hand of the Zionists. Zionism is the real killer, no matter who is fighting. Because you can be fighting because of the oppression, because of the pain that Zionism is causing you, or you can be deluded or brainwashed to fight for Zionism under false pretenses and false ideas. You're both victims. Mm. And we need to know that Zionism would not stop. Zionism would not stop because it's a colonial, settler, exclusivist movement, meaning they're not like in South Africa. South Africa, they colonized South Africa, they did apartheid, but they didn't really replace the inhabitants, the natives, by Europeans. They wanted to control them. They wanted to use them as cheap labor. The Zionists learned from that quote-unquote mistake. They don't want the Palestinians to stay in Palestine. All what you see in Gaza right now is to achieve that goal. It's either kill them, eliminate them, or push them out. That's the real agenda of Netanyahu and his right-wing government. And when I say that, it's funny, because I don't know if there is anybody who left is not right-wing in Israel. And they say Lapid and Gantz on the left. Go and listen to them. They are as fanatic right-wing as Netanyahu and Ben-Gvir and what's his name, the other guy? Yes, Smotrich. They are not as much as fanatic as those people. The only difference between them is they differ on the means to achieve their goals. One, they want to use a soft way and the labor, quote unquote, labor party day way of lying, doing it, and pretend something else, or the Netanyahu way, who says what he wants, and he says it clear, and Smotrich and Ben-Gvir. They talk about the two-state solution right now. Two-state solution how? There is 1 million settlers in the West Bank alone. There is 100,000 people who are armed in those settlements. And that was the Begin way from the beginning plan. He said we should arm those settlers just in case a leftist government, quote unquote, a leftist government would reach an agreement with the Palestinians about a state. So that's not even there to be used as a plan. But even if the Palestinians have accepted 22% in the Oslo agreement for the sake, quote unquote, peace for 30 years, they recognize Israel, you know, the Palestinian Authority was created for 30 years or more, 33 years. What happened? They had 60,000 settlers, now there are 1 million settlers. Israel does not want a two-state solution. They do not want a Palestinian state. They want it all. Israel wants Palestine from the river to the sea. And you know, the slogan, you know, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, was coined first by the Zionists. Okay, it was saying, from the river to the sea, there will, Palestine will never be. That was their slogan. So I tell you, you guys, when you're fighting for the liberation of Palestine, you are standing in the right side of history. When you fight for the liberation of Palestine, you are standing against colonialism, against fascism. You are standing on with the good side. So you shouldn't feel anything. The pressure of the majority sometimes makes you feel like maybe I should be silent. Never. Because you're stronger than the people who are on their side. The truth shall set you free when you say it. Thank you very much.
Wonderful and brilliant. So I'm going to moderate questions. I'm just going to ask that for the sake of time, if you have a question, just raise your hand and speak loudly. And please keep it as brief as possible so we can get to as many as we can. Keep it as succinct as you can so we can get to as many questions as possible. Okay. Shakar.
Talking about the film festival that you used to put together in, I believe, the Bay Area.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, sorry, folks, if this is off topic. I'm wondering if, A, you're still involved, and B, can you recommend, like, a website or a place for us to go to learn and see more Palestinian films, if you're still involved in that world at all?
I love films, I'm involved in films, but no, with Arab Film Festival, since I left, it's been a while. And I read about what they're doing and things like that, but not directly involved. But I tell you what I can do for you, if you're interested. I have a list, an exhaustive list, like hundreds, of links to films that you can just click on it, and then go and watch it for free about Palestinian, the Palestinian issue. And what I'll do is I'll send it to Mazda maybe, and Mazda's here, and you can ask him, and I think Mazda just give it to whoever wants to. It's a good resource.
Yes.
And I've been watching a lot of those films, some of them, in the 60s, 70s, they're not all made by Palestinians, but Europeans, and I haven't been able to watch them all, so I'm still watching, but I'll do that.
Maybe they can get sent out to the JDP or the BSL mail
list? Yes, I can send it to because I have his email, and if he doesn't send it to you guys, who it is. You know where he lives.
Anybody else have any questions for Michelle?
Yeah, I wondered more about your case. When did your case take place? And how can we find out more about that? I don't need a mic.
Oh, it's in the recording, if you don't mind.
Okay. I'd like to hear more about your case and where we find out more about what happened.
Okay.
And just another thing really quickly, I don't know if you can answer this too, but there was a case where it was before 2001, incident in New York, and it was where Palestinians were kept in the same way as Gitmo, where they weren't given their rights and they were just thrown away without a lawyer. Do you know anything about that? This is like in the late 90s?
Yes, but the difference, our case came at a time where the US foreign policy was transitioning from anti-communist to anti-terrorist, anti-Muslims. And the case came as a test case right now, right then, to really change the laws on the books. So the McCarran-Walter Act, when they started with it, we won two times against two provisions of the law, and then the Congress took notice and they repealed the McCarran-Walter Act. And since then there was the 1996 Immigration Act and the Patriot Act, and like six laws came, and in every law there was a provision directly was enacted for the LA8 because we were winning every court case. And they wanted to close, quote unquote, the loopholes, like how we win. And basically we won because they didn't have a shred of evidence of what they were saying. You know, we were students speaking about the Palestinian issue. And let me give you some examples of Frank Knight's deposition. Frank Knight was the guy from the FBI who for 3.5 years was watching us. And in one of our gala celebrations of Palestinian culture, he was there taking photographs and notes and all of that. And in the case, he wrote this deposition. And he said that those guys were wearing terrorist clothes and singing terrorist songs and doing terrorist gestures. And you know, we were doing the Dabki, you know, wearing the Palestinian traditional clothes. Even the judge, when he heard him say that, the judge said, it seems to me, that's a, quoting the judge, it seems to me that somebody who doesn't speak Arabic have determined that those guys were terrorists from the tunes of their songs and the colors of their attire. That's a judge, and he was a Jewish judge too, you know, and he said that's bordering on the outrageous. So the case from the beginning had a political agenda. They thought we'll catch those Palestinian students. Palestine, you know, it's already, the stereotype is already been set and done in the media, popular culture, everywhere. And then we will scream, PFLP, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. Those are the guys who kidnapped airplanes and stuff, and it's done, we can deport them. And set the precedent as a test case. But what was even more dangerous is during the case, somebody leaked a document to the LA Times. That document called Alien Terrorists and Undesirables, a contingency plan. And they said that they wanted, in case of war with the Arab world, and you remember, Reagan's time and Edwin Meese, that that time, they had they bombed Libya in the tent of Gaddafi, if you remember, and they killed the Gaddafi's daughter, and they were thinking, the thinking was that they might be that Gaddafi will do something. And then 3 days before they arrested us in 1987, three Americans were kidnapped in Beirut. So they wanted, in case anything happens, to round up Arab Americans en masse and put them in concentration camps. And the site was chosen, Ogdale, Louisiana. They said even that the gas hookups and the blankets were there ready. The climate suits Middle Eastern people. And that's a jail where Cubans were put there, but they wanted to expand it to incarcerate Arab Americans in concentration camps, exactly similar like what happened to the Japanese American after Pearl Harbor in Second World War.
And so how would we find it? We go to your name, Google your name, or?
The plan?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you Google my name,
okay.
You get a lot of information. And alien terrorists and undesirables, a contingency plan. You'll find a lot of reporting about this. I'm not sure you can find the text of that plan, but I have a text. I have a copy. I don't know how to get it to you, but I have a copy. An extra copy. I can. Same thing? I can send it. This is a paper copy. It's not really a digital copy. But what we can do is like making photocopies of it. Not photocopies, but pictures.
Stand.
And yeah.
Like, email.
Like the primitive way, like with the phone, with the iPhone kind of thing. But it can be read.
As far as you know, is the plan still active, or has it been in any way rescinded?
Well, they denied that they said it was only an option, an option paper. They never said that. But then after they lost the case and you know the plan was already there. I haven't heard of any mass rounding up. If we didn't win, I bet this is the time where they activated. But it was leaked by somebody within the system that was afraid of what it means and leaked it to the LA Times. So. I hope it's not there, but even then when they said it's an option, this is shouldn't be an option. What kind of an option is this? We thought after the Japanese experience that became a part of history, but it sounds like we should be diligent protecting our rights because these papers are on the shelves. They can take one down and activate it anytime. So we shouldn't really relax about these things. This government is all about the empire.
Yeah. What do you see as the best realistic future for Israel?
The best realistic future for Israel. They should abandon Zionism and just become a part with the local, that they become a part of the region. Because, let me just give you a hypothetical. If the Zionist movement came into the area and raised the slogan that we are here to fight with the people against the kings and the sheikhs of the Arab world and for the freedom of the region, believe me, they would have been the most popular force in the region. It's just because they are a colonial Western power, it identifies itself as being Western, as being modern, and that the rest of the region are backward Arabs. So they're not gonna be accepted. No matter what, the best thing for the Jews of Israel is to live in the Arab world safely, for they have a home safely, as they did throughout the millennia. They in Andalusia, they were thriving as a community under the Muslim rules there. When the Christians Isabella and Ferdinando came and defeated the Muslims in Andalusia, they did not just oppress the Muslims, but the Jews. And that's why the Jews left Andalusia with the Arabs, with the Muslims. they call them the Sephardim Jews right now, in relation to the Sephard in Spain. The Jews has always been protected in the Arab world and in the Muslim world. Not protected as somebody different, as part. We have Palestinian Jews who are Palestinians, you know? And the idea is making as if the Jews are facing, quote unquote, a Holocaust in the Arab world, that they, the experience that the Jews suffered in Europe, not in our land, not in our part of the world. We have no qualm at all. In the Quran, the Muslims, you know, consider the Jews as the Christians, the people of the book. The people have rights, you don't touch them. You know, they are, you know, people who are considered people who believe in God. That's in the Muslim book. Well, I'm a Christian. I was born a Christian. I'm not religious in any way. I'm a human being. But I lived there all my life, my family, side by side by Muslims. We never had problems. We were in Haifa, my parents and my ancestors. Their best friends were Jewish. Were Jewish people, Palestinians. Their best, they kept telling me stories about their best friend was a photographer, a Jewish photographer, who I still have those photographs of them where they took them at his studio. So the best, to, you know, circle back to your question, the best thing for Israel to do right now is for Israelis to denounce Zionism, for Israelis to stop the occupation, for Israelis to say we want to live as Jews in this part of the world. And believe me, that would be the best solution for everyone, including Jews in the area.
Okay, so, sorry, I think just for the sake of time, I'm sorry, I didn't. Okay. Yeah, maybe we just keep down there. Maybe we just move the mic. That might be easier than making Michelle keep getting back it up. Yes, Nazila, do you have a question for Michelle?
No, I just
have several comments. Okay. Great.
First of all, I just want to thank Michelle for his comprehensive analysis and also give my comment about nowadays in media, the corporate media, we hear this narrative on Israeli genocide, which is they try to frame it as Israel-Hamas war. However, in reality, Israel is just struggling and fighting against Palestine's entire Palestine National Liberation Movement. It's not about Hamas, it's about liberation movement that Israel has been fighting for decades and decades. And we have to also consider the role of U.S. imperialism in this oppression supporting financially, militarily, and politically in supporting Israel. So this oppression is maintained by U.S. For its unconditional support. And as for the role of U.S. Movement here, I guess we have to support the National Liberation Movement for Palestinian as a role of U.S. movement here. We have to just support the Palestinians' right of self-determination. We are not in any place to just criticize Palestinian strategy or ideology for fighting for their independence. All we can do is to support all Palestinians for their fight against this oppression, against this apartheid system, and we need this support so in the future future, that I hope I can see that future, that we have another country that is rid itself from apartheid and colonial system, and long live Palestine.
Still surprised, you won the West in time to be our guest. Name your prize. Drop of wine, a glass of beer, dear, what's the time? The grime on the time is mine, oh mine, oh mine. 9:05. Blood on the rooftops, Venice in the spring. Streets of San Francisco, a word from Peking. The trouble was started by a young aeroplane. Better in my day, oh Lord. For when we got born, we have a world war. Happy but poor, so let's keep the news, boy. I'll go make that tea. Love on the rooftops, too much for me. When all Mother Goose stops at the route for 23, then the rain at Lord's stop play. Seems Helen of Troy has found a new place again.
Thank you.